another week, and we're back together for After the Snow. It's the Snowfall After Show podcast. And of course, the new season ended a few weeks ago, but we're keeping After the Snow going. I'm your co-host, Dave Mays, and co-founder and CEO of Breakbeat, the new podcast network that we're part of. And I got my co-host, Freeway Ricky Ross.
What's up, Big Dave?
What's going on, Rick?
Man, everything good, everything good. You down in Atlanta, huh?
I'm in the A. Yeah, taking care of some business down here with our guy, Funny Marco.
I saw that trailer, man. That was crazy. I really like that one when he told Boosie when he go around somebody that that don't want him around. And Boosie said, hell no, I don't go around no motherfucker, something like that. I can't remember the exact words, but... And then when Marco came back and said, well, why you keep going back to Instagram? It took me a minute to catch it, right? It kind of went over my head at first because, you know, I wasn't thinking about Instagram to kick Bootsy off like 4 or 5 times. Right. But once I thought about it, it was like, damn, that shit was funny as hell. But yeah, I saw that. Y'all doing some good work down there.
Yeah, thanks, thanks. Yeah, that's coming out. That's a new podcast on Breakbeat. To go along with After the Snow, Don't Call Me White Girl, Trapping Anonymous, a few others. But this is called Cornbread TV with Funny Marco. Of course, you know, most people know Funny Marco for the last, you know, few years. He's really taken off on Instagram, doing his thing with his skits and pranks and all that kind of stuff. And it's a really interesting new podcast, Cornbread TV, starring Funny Marco. So
that's gonna be dope. And Marco, my man too. I like Marco. I watch him on the internet all the time, man. And he's just funny as hell. So
he is.
It's the right place for him to be.
Exactly. taking things to another level. How did you guys connect? Because I know I just found out you guys are friends.
We working on a little script together. A guy contacted me and told me he had a comedy script and. He wanted some comedians to play in it. He wanted me to help him produce it. And Marco was one of the guys that he wanted to ship as a starter. Matter of fact, the starter movie. He'll be the star. And I hit Marco up online, and he hit back, and we switched numbers. And we've been talking, you know, for about 5 or 6 months now, you know, off and on. And, you know, I think Marco's going to blow up. You know, I see big things for him. So, you know, guys hit me up about the movies because, you know, they know I got the little movie connections and stuff like that. So I get those kind of calls all the time, man. Yeah. And, you know, we just been chilling, man. I'm back in the gym, man. I had to get back in the gym, Dave. You know,
I'm talking about.
Yeah, man. I caught something a couple weeks ago. I've been at this cough. I went and got COVID tests and everything. I had 3 COVID tests, came back negative. So I felt good about that. But the damn cough won't go away, man. And I said, you know what? You better get your ass back in the gym, man. Fuck that. So I'm back in the gym, man. I'm working out. I'm going to try to lose about 15 pounds, you know, get myself in shape, you know. We got to stay healthy. Ain't no sense in getting wealthy if you ain't healthy, you know.
So, that's right. We already know that you eat right with the vegan lifestyle that we share, you know, definitely eating for your health.
Yes.
And it's enjoyable. I can't, you know, I can't try to front like I don't love
like it ain't. Hey, I'm going to come back to Chicago so I can go over there to Soli Vegan, man. That place was. I'm dreaming about that food right now, you know.
Well, man, that's what now that you say that, it's kind of crazy because I just found out from you that you're coming to Chicago next week. I'll be in L.A., so I'm going to miss you. While you're in Chicago, we won't get to go to Soul Vegan together, and then you won't get to come. So to L.A., you know, we're launching a podcast, as you know, but I haven't announced it yet, with Bill Bellamy, called Top Billing with Bill Bellamy. And so we're recording the first shows with him in L.A. next week, but we'll be doing
it. Man, you on a tear, man. Hey, you on a tear, man. you putting it together.
No, man, the Breakbeat family, man. We gotta grow and grow and keep making our mark out here and help, you know, just bring this this all this incredible content and personalities and great points of view and authenticity back, you know, into the game. That's what's needed, man. Authenticity, credibility.
Absolutely. You know? Absolutely. So, absolutely. It's so much faking. And I think that's what's wrong with the world. You know, we got in the habit of faking it, you know, till you make it. And shit, people just say, hell, we're making it. We're just going to fake it all the way through this thing.
So, right.
Bringing that authenticity back is definitely something that's very much needed, man. And I appreciate you for doing that. I'm going to be in Chicago. We're going to be doing expungement clinics, man. We're going to be we're going to have about 8 or 9 lawyers out, and we're going to be taking people convictions off, you know, and also educating them about the marijuana industry. You know, cause Chicago is legal now. So, a lot of black and brown people don't know that they can get licenses because the city is not notifying people. And we want them to get into the business and not let big corporation, you know, just take over everything. So from the 23rd to the 25th, we'll be there doing expungement clinics around the city. I have the flyers posted on my social media cause I don't know where they at right now, where the event's going to be held. I find out at the last minute.
Right, man. Well, that's big. That's good stuff right there. A lot of people can benefit from getting those records expunged, you know?
Yeah. Well, you know, that's what it's about, helping other people, man. It ain't just about, you know, getting for yourself and once you good, you good, you know, no, we got to help others, man. We got to each one teach one, each one lift one. So that's my motto, man. Let's help each other.
Yeah, man. Well, yeah, man, it's a pleasure to work with you on a weekly basis. And, you know, today we're going to go back again to season 1, which we started a couple of weeks back. We're now on episode 3. It's called Slow Hand. And, you know, we remember at the end of last week, Franklin got jumped and jacked and beat up and everything. And, you know, what's he going to do about it? So we start to find out in this new episode this week.
yeah, that was crazy. It's amazing how stuff like that happened, you know, all the time. You know, people are walking around with their whole savings in their backpack. You know, it's a no-no. Don't walk around with all your savings in your backpack, man. You might regret it. So Franklin's in trouble right now.
All right.
You know, he's beat up, you know, confused. Matter of fact, you know, at the beginning of the episode, we see him walking back into the club looking for the lady because he feel like she set him up.
Claudia, right?
Yeah. That's her name, Claudia.
Yeah, I was surprised that she gave up the name, like, because, you know, we know that she set him up and he knew that. But why do you think she was so willing to just give him the name? I guess because she still want to mess with him and get the product.
I don't know. She's so grimy. I didn't know that she had set him up though. I didn't see, you know, it didn't show that she actually set him up. I know Franklin had said that he saw her talking to him.
Yeah, in the last week's episode when he was up in there with her. He was sitting over, you know, in one of the little sections with her. She got up and they show her for just a second standing there talking to those two guys right in front of Franklin in her club. Right before, you know, then they leave out and conveniently, you know, 15 minutes later when he bounces is when they rob him. So,
Yeah. So you got to put 2 and 2 together. See, I missed that scene. I missed the scene where she was talking to him. I didn't see that. But I did hear Franklin say that well, you were talking to him. So that was the implication. Yeah, but she didn't like the fact that he had accused her of setting him up either. I saw that when him and her were talking. She told him to be careful what you say, you know, when you are when you're accusing people.
Yeah. She's grimy and rough, you know. but Franklin, you know, asks nicely and she gives up the information on the two guys, Lenny and Ray Ray, and she tells him that they're down with the Western tribe. You know what that means when she said that?
Nah. There were no gangs in LA named that at that time. Still, I don't know any Western tribes right now. you know, some of the stuff we know that that they just added and threw stuff in here as they went, you know, it's definitely not authentic Los Angeles story, you know, where it's just all Los Angeles, no outside influences and things like that there. So I think that's how they did it. And that tribe is just something that they just came up with.
Got it.
Because most of our gangs out here, you know, during that time was Crips and Bloods.
Yeah.
You know, either you was a Compton Crip, or a Compton Blood, or a 60, or East Coast, or Hoover. You know, those were the names of our street gangs at that time. Most of the gangs were naming themselves after streets and avenues and stuff like that there. Nobody called himself a tribe.
Okay.
To my knowledge.
There was the Booyah tribe. They came along.
Yeah. Them was Samoans. Remember, them was they was the rappers and they was from Carson. They was from the Carson area. But they came on later on the scene after a few years of the Crips and the Bloods.
Yeah. They used to roll with Eazy-E, a lot of the Samoans.
Yeah. Matter of fact, they sure did. They had a couple hit records out too, I believe.
They did, yeah. Booyah Tribe definitely did their thing. Shout out Booyah Tribe, yeah. So yeah, we the storylines are developing. So also, of course, you know, him and the two younger family members of the Mexican cartel. Is it Pedro and Lucia? You know, they got a problem because they tried to rob their dad to buy the cocaine. That, you know, also went in there. Guy came home. He had to kill one of their dad's guys. Dad is pissed. He's like, you know, it's an inside job. Somebody's got to, you know, pay for this. So they have to kill someone. They decide one of his other inner circle to make it look like that's the guy that did it. So with also, we start to see again, we talked about this before, and he's the voice of reason. He's like, you know, hey, you know, I don't want to kill anybody that has a family, you know, that's not right. And, you know, we see that whole exchange between him and the two cousins.
Yeah. Well, also seems like he's a, what's the word I'm looking for? You know, somebody who's humble, who's honest, you know, who wants to do the right things. You know, he's loyal, you know, maybe a bit too loyal sometimes to the people that he's working with. But from what I'm starting, it's even, you know, from also his loyalty, you know, and his commitment to protecting the people that he's around and doing the right thing. I mean, he just seemed like he's that guy. To me, he's probably the most loyal guy that I saw in the show so far.
Yeah. Yeah, he's an interesting, likable character. But, you know, he's like we're starting to see, I think, with all these guys, you know, they're faced with really difficult choices and they're going to, you know, they're basically going to do what they have to do. So also, you know, has to go along with it. He's going to go and kill one of these, another person, in order to try to, you know, protect them and their plan to, you know, start getting into the coke game. So, Franklin, you know, leaves the club and of course he goes straight to Leon. So he's walking through the projects to go to Leon's crib. What did you think of that scene? Did those projects remind you of anywhere in particular?
No, not necessarily. But, you know, we got so many projects out here, man, that, you know, it could have been any number of them. Mm-hmm. Jordan Downs, Nickerson Gardens, Imperial Courts. What's the other one? Man, we got so many of the Pueblos. You know, we got about... In LA, we have about 10 projects, so could have been any number of projects that they were going to. But you know, I figure it more than likely was one over in South Central, probably the Pueblos or the Imperial Court or the Jordan Downs. Those were some of the most popular projects here in L.A.
Yes.
If it had been my scene, it would have been one of those. Uh-huh. If it had been my scene, it would have been one of those projects, because my ties was really, really strong with the Grape Streets. A couple of the guys that was shot callers for the Grape Streets was really, really good friends of mine. Chubb, rest in peace. Matter of fact, he's in my book. I talk about how we met in the book. I was at the skating ring, and him and Honcho, it came up. And the last time I saw Honcho, we was arguing and I damn near put a pistol on Honcho. So, Honcho was just, he hadn't been out of jail long, man. He had like some 23-inch arms, and he was talking about fighting. Yeah. I said, we ain't doing no fighting, man.
But you guys ended up becoming friends, right? You know?
Well, we were friends even before that. You know, we went out and did some cars, you know, stole some cars together and stuff. But this particular night, we were having a party, and he wanted to turn our party out, you know, and we wasn't having it. I mean, you ain't turning our party out. But see, we had started having cocaine money, and he didn't know. So he pulled his car up in front of little Tommy, and they started jumping their cars. And you know, Tommy had everything, all the new stuff in there. You know, he had money now, you know. So his car just killed Hanjo's car off, and everybody started laughing at him. And he wanted to fight then. But it's a big scene, man. He went and got, after I pulled a gun on him, he went and got all the Grape Streets, man. Probably about 50 cars pulled up, you know, with him, and surrounded the club. And it was a big scene. But then one of my cousins came out that was a gangbanger too, you know, because we wasn't gangbangers. You know, I never gangbanged. Mm-hmm. So he was able to get the thing squashed that night. But I hadn't seen Honcho since that night. So I'm going to the skating ring to pick up a little chick. And I look up, man, I'm trapped. You know, can't get out. Don't have no pistol on me. And he with four dudes. But it turned out to be all good. Matter of fact, that was one of the nights that really gave me a new strategy, you know, on how to get the shot callers from the different hoods and put them down. So that was a really big night for me. It turned out to be one of my strongest moves that I made.
No, I was gonna say Franklin, you know, he's determined to get this money back. He's like, man, you know, I can't go out like this. He knows Avi's gonna be looking for that money. So he goes to Leon and you know, I need your help. Leon said, what you wanna do? I'm ready. And takes him around the neighborhood, I guess, to find some guys that he thinks will be able to help them locate Lenny and Ray Ray.
Leon a gangster.
Uh-huh.
They talking about Leon beating somebody up in Wayside.
Right.
Then when he walked in the house, the guys were talking about, man, I remember you at Wayside. You whooped that dude. And then Leon gave the explanation why he whooped him and whatnot. So, you know, Leon had been in the mix.
Yeah. They tried to call him Little Leon. He didn't like that anymore. He said, I'm Leon now. No more Little Leon. But the guy, I think his name is Carvel, decides to help them out. And, you know, they go off. Jump into a car with Carvel. I don't know how Leon and Franklin were getting around. They just kind of showed up over there. I don't know if they had a car or how they were moving.
No, he ain't got his motorcycle no more. He know the motorcycle gone.
Right. I was wondering how they got there, but they take off with Carvel to go chase down Lenny and Ray Ray and try to get their money back. And you know, it gets pretty wild. That's, you know, one of the main storylines of this week is, you know, they show up at, I guess it's Ray Ray. No, Lenny. Lenny is the one that the guy says he's the one, you know, he's going to have the money. Ray Ray.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, just the way they started, you know, they started the thing off to me, was crazy, you know, with him knocking on the door and then putting the gun up to Franklin's head. I didn't understand why he did that. You know,
right.
I guess they made it look kind of like he was tricking a guy into thinking that he had a gun on Franklin. But I don't think the guy really had enough time to even see who he was with, because as soon as he cracked the door, he kicked that motherfucker in and went up in there.
Right, right. You would have thought Lenny would have just cracked the door like that. You know what I mean? He would have been a little smarter than just opening the door for somebody.
Yeah.
Unless he really knew this guy Carvell, but it didn't sound like they were that tight.
It didn't. And then I was wondering, why would he put the gun on Franklin? And I don't remember correctly. Did he hit Leon too?
I don't know. I think he was focused on Franklin. I was thinking it was because, you know, he thought that Lenny would recognize him and be like, hey, I got this guy, his, you know, but that don't make a lot of sense necessarily either.
Yeah, it didn't really, that little scene was kind of screwy to me. I didn't really figure it all out. But anyway, they got in the house. That's the main part. They got in the house, and they had their man.
Yeah, things get a little ugly and a little wild. Lenny don't want to give up nothing. He's talking shit. Franklin tries to reason with him. You know, he's thinking he'll be able to talk him into, you know, cooperating.
Franklin thinks he got the gift of gab. He can talk his way in and out of everything, huh?
Yeah.
He don't know when them dudes take that money, they don't want to give it back. It become theirs once they get their hands on it.
Yeah, that didn't work. He tried, though. You got to give him credit for thinking he could try that approach. But, yeah, it gets a little crazy. They start beating him with the bat. You know, Carvell's going crazy and then drags him in the bedroom. And, of course, we learned that he was raping him, you know, at the end. And,
sexually assaulting. That's a sexual assault. It looked like he abused a man, and he'll never be the same again. Looked like, but he gave that money up.
He did. He sure did. And Carvell took it and bounced.
And that was crazy. That was crazy. I thought he would at least give Franklin him a cut. You know,
right.
But I guess that's how it is. You know, if he did all the work, he felt it was all his. You know, Franklin didn't step up to the plate to do his part. So,
right.
He probably was going to take it all anyway.
Right. He felt he could walk over them.
Yeah. Because remember, even the other guy was calling them pussies. And then when he wanted to beat him with the bat, remember, Franklin then wouldn't let him beat him with the bat.
Right.
And that's when he went off and started breaking everything up in the house, you know.
Yeah.
And then after a while, he just took matters into his own hands and said, fuck y'all. Y'all don't know what y'all doing. Let me handle this.
Yeah.
Let me show y'all how the streets work.
So, yeah, I want to talk a little bit about the other big character and storyline that's developing here, which is Teddy and, you know, the CIA agent turned, you know, international drug trafficker. So Teddy's, you know, moving things along, picking up where his former agent that OD'd left off, but now he's trying to clean things up. They go to pick up some guns that Alejandro or them had arranged, but Teddy doesn't like it. The guns got serial numbers. He doesn't want to get traced back, and they get an argument over that. Teddy insists we're going to file every serial number off before we take these down to Nicaragua. They had rocket launchers too, that they were bringing down.
Yeah. There. Grenade launchers.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
They had a lot of ammo in there.
Yeah.
And the guy talked about how he had got them off an army base. You know, it was guns that he could write off the book. Teddy was concerned though about them guns being traced back to the guy and then coming back to them.
Yeah. So, you know, we learn that Teddy has a son, and the mother of his son, I guess, pops up in L.A. She is also a CIA operative, and apparently, you know, they had met in, I think, Iran and ended up falling in love, having a baby, but now he's coming out there with the baby to say, look, you know, I heard that you're doing a lot of crazy stuff out here. You get involved in something that's, you know, could be really dangerous. And, you know, basically saying like, you know, I'm worried about our son, are you? And, you know, she ends up leaving. But, you know, Teddy goes into his whole, you know, this is what the country wants me to do. And he's got all these big plans. You know, he'll be able to control the cocaine business. It's a rich white man's drug for celebrities and spoiled kids. And, you know, it's not going to hurt anybody. And I can control the market. And this is going to help, you know, us win this war in Nicaragua that we need to win. So
he also talked about being able to cut it off when he got ready.
Yeah, he did.
Yep. He threw that in there as well.
So we're seeing, you know, that Teddy, again, he's taking his job serious. He's going to whatever measures it takes to get things done. But they're trying to bring in now, you know, his kind of love interest and the conflict with the family that we're going to see, you know, also probably, you know, with the other character groups. Franklin, of course, and his family are heavily connected. But yeah, and he,
and it kind of goes, you know, what he's going through with his girl is almost what any businessman go through, though. You know, when you're working too hard, the wife don't really understand that. You know, they want you to run the house more, and here you are out on the street pushing. You know, yeah. trying to make advancements.
Yeah. So we're getting to know Teddy a little better, and that's one of the other main characters. And then, you know, Franklin and his uncle, he's going back to his uncle for help. You know, now that Carvel ran off with the money, Franklin's, you know, got to figure out something else to do. And he figured out he needed
a gun.
Right. We don't know what he's going to do with it yet.
Because Carmel got a gun.
Yeah. He definitely do.
So you ain't taking that money back. You ain't got no gun. You can forget that. Because the uncle was telling me, if you take a gun out of that house, you got to use it.
Yeah. Now, you think that's what he's going to do? Try to go pull up on Carvel and get the money back?
Well, I mean, Franklin's been through a lot already, you know, in these first three episodes, you know, from Ivy giving him a key on credit, you know, right off the bat, to finding a customer the same day, you know, who's buying kilos of cocaine, who, for the most part, set him up to be robbed. And then finding somebody to help him go and get the robbers. And then that guy turned around and robbed him again. So I'm pretty sure that Franklin is starting to think that he's going to need some protection. You know, that he's going to need to be at least playing on a level playing field with these guys, because you can't fight a guy with a gun.
Right.
And you don't have one.
So it looked to me like, you know, Jerome basically said he's not giving him the gun. He said, your mom, I don't want your mom showing up here because you pulled out and hesitated. And, you know, he said, it's your funeral and your mom ain't going to come in here and find out that I gave you that gun. Looked like, of course, Auntie Louie wants to help him. But I thought he left there without the gun. And at the end, he goes home with his mom and he's got a gun. So do we know where he got that gun?
Nah, they didn't. I don't remember seeing where he got the gun from.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so I don't know. I didn't see the uncle give it to him. And like you said, I wasn't sure that the uncle was going to do it anyway.
Right.
The way he was talking to him.
Right. So I guess we'll find that out, whether Uncle Jerome ended up giving it to him or Auntie Louie or if he went somewhere else. But he definitely has the gun, sneaks it in the house at the end, and you know, changes his clothes up, and tells his mom he got something fell on him at this construction job, I guess, and that's why he got the bruises on his face. And she seems to believe him.
Yeah, that was funny. Yeah, I remember that. She told him he probably need to get another job.
Right.
Yeah. So it's setting the foundation, you know, for I guess the next series to answer some of the questions that that we have right now for the show. You know, see which direction it's gonna go in. But we also know that these are the shows that really set the tone for the audience. You know, I went to a couple parties this weekend, and the people were saying that they're getting disattached to the show because of the direction that it went in for.
Yeah, well, that'll be interesting as we walk through seasons 1, 2, 3, you know, kind of catch ourselves up on things. So, yeah, even though these episodes have been out, I'm still looking forward to watching next week. It's got me, you know, wanting to know what's going to happen next. So I'll definitely be
watching. Me too.
Yeah.
And then I like, you know, when you analyze it, you know, you because you pay real close attention to detail. So when you bring up things, because I be missing stuff, man. And then you be saying, well, this happened and that happened. And I was like, wow, I missed that, huh? So it's interesting to me, too, you know, and I can see how people can become attached to the show, you know, because it can definitely grab your attention, you know, where you want to know what happened, you know.
Yeah. Cool. Well, we're going to keep giving the people After the Snow. We're going to keep breaking down these episodes. We're going to, you know, give our insight, our analysis, and help people understand what's real, what isn't real, you know, in terms of this whole story of cocaine and bringing it into, you know, the government bringing it into the country that you were, you know, in the middle of, you know, 30, 40 years ago. Very, very important story. So we want to stick with it. And we got to talk to our producer, Tarek, man. He does a great job. But, we got to figure out some guests, man. Let's get some guests going so we can, you know, add some people. I'm going to bring on probably some of the other breakbeat hosts soon. Maybe Bill Bellamy. And I don't know if Mark will watch Snowfall or not. I got to ask him. You know, we'll do that as well.
Sounds good. I know a couple people who from out here that would love to come on, and they may not be the favorite guests at the Snowfall, but you know, they would definitely love to come on and talk.
Well, let's do it. So After the Snow, we'll be back next week. I'm your co-host, Dave Mays.
And I'm Ricky Ross. We'll see you next week. Boom.
Peace.